सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सवीर्यं कर्वावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै। ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्ति। यद्यदाचरति श्रेष्ठः यद्यदाचरति श्रेष्ठः तत्तदेवेतरोजनः सयत्प्रमाणं कुरुते लोकस्तदनुवर्तते। यद्यदाचरति श्रेष्ठः तत्तदेवेतरोजनः सयत्प्रमाणं कुरुते लोकस्तदनुवर्तते। न मे पातास्ति कर्तव्यम् त्रिषु लोकेषु किञ्चन नानवाप्तमवाप्तव्यम् वर्त एव च कर्मणि। न मे पातास्ति कर्तव्यम् त्रिषु लोकेषु किञ्चन नानवाप्तमवाप्तव्यम् वर्त एव च कर्मणि। यदि ह्यहं न वत्सेयम् जातु कर्मण्यतन्द्रितः मम वर्त्मानुवर्तन्ते मनुष्यापात सर्वशः। यदि ह्यहं न वत्सेयम् जातु कर्मण्यतन्द्रितः मम वर्त्मानुवर्तन्ते मनुष्यापात सर्वशः। उत्सीधेयुरिमे लोकाः न कुर्यां कर्म चेदहम् सङ्करस्य च कर्ता स्याम् उपहन्यामि मा प्रजाः। उत्सीधेयुरिमे लोकाः न कुर्यां कर्म चेदहम् सङ्करस्य च कर्ता स्याम् उपहन्यामि मा प्रजाः। सक्ता कर्मण्यविद्वांसः यथा कुर्वन्ति भारत कुर्याद्विद्वांस्तदा सक्तः। चिकीर्षुर्लोकसङ्ग्रहम् सक्ता कर्मण्यविद्वांसः यथा कुर्वन्ति भारत कुर्याद्विद्वांस्तदा सक्तः चिकीर्षुर्लोकसङ्ग्रहम्। Lord Krishna is talking about the concept of Lokasangraham. Lokasangraham is what he defines here as Karma Yoga. So when you do your action just to cater to yourself with a selfish motive, what I can get just for myself, the background, the underlying understanding about oneself there is oneself to be this little self, the individual who is completely different from the total. He separates himself from each and every individual. He assumes an imaginary individuality. And this is caused by ignorance. Therefore, in the second chapter he said, Karma Yoga was called as Buddhi Yoga. Buddhi Yoga means action backed by Buddhi or knowledge. So when you gain the knowledge, then you understand that you are actually not separate from the total. You are one of the many parts of the total. You are actually one entity. At the outside, at the practical level today, we appear to be different individuals. So when I have this knowledge, then I look at myself as one entity with the whole. Otherwise I separate myself from the whole, then my whole motive will be just to fulfill certain things which I have within me, what I call as desires. So I do my actions to fulfill my desires for my happiness, for my little individual purpose. So then, that is called as karma, and that will bind you with it. So now he says, with the knowledge, having understood that the individuality is not a fact, it is a myth. Having understood that, now work for the total. Even here, there is an element of ego, that I am working with an understanding that I am total, etc. Even beyond this is where you gain the knowledge and you say, I am neither the individual nor the total, I am the Sakshi, the witness. That is the ultimate. But at the moment, you identify with a larger canvas and then function, what he calls as Lokasanta. So he says, few people like Janaka, they attain perfection working in this spirit of Lokasanta. When you come out of your little shell and then you identify with the larger cause, you are pumped up with more energy. Whenever you work for a higher cause, you have greater energy, with which when you function directly for a larger cause, you can exhaust the bulk of your desires. By exhausting the bulk of your desires, you purify your inner self, the mind. When you purify the mind, you rise towards jnana. Because Arjuna's question was, if jnana is ultimate, then what should I get into action? And that too, this Gora Karma of killing my guru and the great grandfather, etc. So here Krishna's reply is, though jnana is the one which will liberate you, you cannot gain knowledge if you have an impure mind. And to purify the mind, you need to act in the spirit of Loka Sangraha. So he says, people like Janaka and others, they did this. They acted in the spirit of Loka Sangraha, being in the world, being a grihastha, without giving up their daily obligations in the world, they also attain perfection. So why don't you also do? Following their example. That's why he said in verse number 20. In 21 he says, whatsoever a superior person does, that alone other people do. Yad yad acharati shreshaha tatta eva itara janaha sa yad pramanam krute loka tat anuvartate. That standard, whatever standard that he sets, that alone the rest of the world will follow. So being a leader, being a parent, being a teacher, being a CEO, wherever you are, as a leader, main thing that you have to keep in mind is, you must lead the way and not show the way. What you do is what is more influential than what you say. Video is more powerful than audio. So he says, you are the leader, Arjuna. He is kind of scratching his ego, you know, his vanity. Factually also, Arjuna was a leader. So many people were looking up to Arjuna. So what you do here, you are basically setting a certain standard. You may be independently not wanting to do that, but others may not understand that. See, one thing is your level of growth. The other thing is the followers' level of growth. Their level of growth is very low. They will go by your actions. They will not be able to understand your growth. You are doing it and for your level, this is fine. They will not understand it that way. Okay, if the guru himself is doing it, if the guru himself is non-punctual, then okay, chalo, take care, then it's okay to be non-punctual. You know, that sort of a thing. So, therefore he says, whatsoever the leader does, that alone the followers will follow. So the emphasis here is what you do, not what you say or what you wish. So many ideas come in our mind. But if those ideas are not implemented, they are not practicalized, it is of no use. So as a leader, you watch your actions, not just your words. You are talking and you are about to leave the battlefield. And if you do that, you are going to set a bad precedence, Arjuna. you were talking about confusion of caste, etc. But basically how the confusion comes about, not everybody who does action after understanding or clarity or thinking. They mechanically follow, they have herd instinct, becha. So since they are doing it without thinking, it is very important that a leader who is a thinker should do the right thing, which is good for the total, not just what is good and correct for his growth. So therefore he says, understand the psychology of the followers and do what is going to be beneficial to everybody. If you walk away, everybody will walk away. Okay, now the question would come to Arjuna or to any one of us. Okay, Krishna, you are talking so much. Are you also a person who could be taken as an example? Krishna says yes. This again teaches us something. You only teach what you practice. You don't teach something that you don't practice. You practice first and then you preach. In fact, most of the time what you practice itself starts preaching. You need not preach separately. I think I told this example last week in this class or I don't know which class. Somebody went to a guru and said, I keep getting, I lose my temper quite often. How do I control my anger? So he said, come after a few days, 10 days or 12 days, he said. Then the student went away and he went after 12 days and then the guru gave the solution. So the student asked, why you been giving the solution that day itself? Didn't you know that day? He said, no, I knew, but I want to first practice it myself. Then I become eligible to give you this advice, not to lose my temper. So in other words, everything that you say, you only say after it has been tested and practiced by your, by you in your life. So Bhagavad Gita is not a knowledge that is to be just read and lifted. It is something that needs to be practiced first. The tendency is to give lectures, but here he is emphasizing, do it. You should be able to give yourself an example. When you go to somebody's wedding and it's your turn to wish the, bless the couple, you should be able to say, both of you should live harmoniously like me and my wife, or me and my husband. How many of you are able to say that? We say, may you both live harmoniously like so and so. That means what? You are not able to give yourself an example. So this doubt can come. Krishna, are you an example? So Krishna says yes. In the next verse. Name Partati Kartavyam. Name Partati Kartavyam. Krishuloketu Kinchana. Krishuloketu Kinchana. Nana Vaptama Vaptavyam. Nana Vaptama Vaptavyam. Vartayeva cha karmani. Vartayeva cha karmani. Name Partati Kartavyam. Krishuloketu Kinchana. Nana Vaptama Vaptavyam. Vartayeva cha karmani. Upata, Arjuna, there is nothing in the three words that has to be done by you. Not anything unattained that has to be attained, yet I engage in action. So Lord Krishna is speaking here, as we have been maintaining, he is speaking here identifying with the self, Atma within. He is not speaking as Mr. Krishna. Somebody who has gone beyond the dimensions and boundaries of the body, mind and intellect and who has reached the depths of one's individual personality, and from that level is speaking. So when you rise above a material level and go deeper levels of life, the material aspects of life lose its value. Isn't it? Like I have given this example before, one fellow threw a party inviting all of his friends and everybody came and partied, but nobody asked what is the reason for this party, sudden party. Only one fellow was interested to know, so he asked, why are you throwing this party? He said, I am throwing this party because my latest Mercedes Benz met with an accident and the car is completely gone. It's finished. And it's just bought recently. insurance is not going to give you the whole money, right? So it's gone, it's heavy loss. For that you are celebrating, for that you are throwing this party, are you mad? He says, yes, I am not mad, you are mad, just think about it, I was sitting in the car and nothing happened to me, not even a small scratch. Isn't this an occasion to celebrate? So what is your value? So some of us get affected by when we lose a pencil. Some of us get affected when we lose a watch. So it depends on what levels, what depths of life you reached. So when you go to the deeper realms, the grosser realms loses its significance and value. You understand this relevance and you play by that rule, by that level. But when you go deeper and deeper, the grosser things loses its charm. For example, you have a chocolate and you are about to eat it and your grandchild is coming and asking, hey, let me have it, let me have it, let me have it. You just give it to the child and the child is enjoying the chocolate, but you are having more ecstasy because your joy is from the emotional level. It's not the physical level. So when we go and having grown deeper, we go to the deeper levels, then the grosser aspects loses its charm. Right? But yet we understand those who are at the grosser levels, we don't look down upon them and say, hey, you are still at the grosser level. We don't throw judgments. We don't become judgmental. If you do become judgmental, what does it mean? Supposing you are judgmental, let us say, with reference to people who are at the grosser levels, what would you call yourself as?
You are still at the same level.
You are not grown. Yeah. It is impossible that you are grown and then you are passing judgments. So this is a proof. So if you are crossed and gone deeper, you will only feel sorry for their generations. Throughout the Gita, throughout scriptures, you see gurus addressing common people, everybody, every one of us has bala. Bala means children. Children out of ignorance are behaving like this. Out of ignorance, once upon a time, I was also behaving like a child. When I gained knowledge, when I established myself in knowledge, when I went to the deeper realms of life, then the grosser aspects seemed nothing to me. But that time, it meant everything.
More than feeling sorry, also somebody can just be an acceptance.
That's what I'm saying. Feeling sorry is just a way of putting it. Feeling sorry is just okay. This people, the difference is just that they have not yet got the knowledge. It's just, they're not, actually, there's no difference. So, in other words, here Krishna is saying, somebody like me, I myself have reached the depths of life. Having reached the highest realm that one could reach possibly, the infinite potential that has been tapped by me, I don't see any need or anything for me in the grosser things. So he says, O Vata, there is nothing in the three worlds that has to be done by me. You can take the three worlds as heaven, hell and earth, or body, mind, intellect, waking, dream, deep sleep, whatever. In other words, in any dimension, in any level, gross, subtle level, any level, I have nothing to be attained which has not been attained. Meaning somebody who has reached the ultimate human possibility, human potential, the infinite potential has been attained. Having attained that, there is no more urge to attain anything. Any accomplishment in the world today that you accomplish, the moment you accomplish that, immediately you will see that your bar has been raised. You feel, oh, I don't have it. Somebody who has a bicycle, he wants to have a motorcycle. A motorcycle fellow, car, at least a nano. And then a nano fellow, another car. A luxury level it goes. Then, you know, it goes on. There's no end to it, helicopter and all that. So basically, any achievements that one attains in life at the worldly level, whether it is material, physical, emotional or intellectual, he always finds himself feeling, there is still more to be attained. But if somebody is declaring, like Krishna declares here, that I have attained everything that is to be attained, there is nothing remains to be attained hereafter, which means it is attainment of the Atma, the Self. So he says, having attained that, I have nothing to be attained, yet I engage myself in action. So you should have the clarity as to where you stand, and you should also have the clarity as to where others are standing. For example, in communication, you should communicate from the level of the recipient, not from your level. You should understand where he is, where he can be, where he can be or where she can be is where anybody can be, which is the highest infinite potential. But at the moment he is only at this level. So I have to come down to that level and then act. So that is why we keep saying in our classes, even though you have, if at all, you have gone beyond the realm of the rituals, traditions, you probably don't have the need to the traditions or rituals to remind you of the divinity. For example, see, symbols and idols and all these are what? Reminders of divinity. But somebody who is able to be reminded of divinity almost any time, he doesn't require any symbol. Right? Even though you don't need, you are living in a family. You are not living in a forest. So in the family, your grandchildren or your children, they still require to be directed towards dharmic lifestyle. Really. So they still require certain directions, certain set way of living. So therefore, even though you have gone beyond dharma, you would still adhere to dharma. See, somebody who has gone beyond the material layers and achieved Atma, find there are more rules to live also. It is very little difficult to understand for us now. As we proceed, you understand. Right? But they would still follow the rule. This is what I want to emphasize. Krishna's life was called as Leela. Leela means sport. Every sport, you know it is only a sport. Right? But sport also has a rules and regulations. So you play within the rules and regulations, knowing well it is sports. This is how a person who has fixed the depths of life, attained the Atma, attained the Self, would function. For him this is sport, but he will not flout them. Hear me. Within, and he is very clear about dharma. We are confused about dharma many times, that is why we are accused. Even for example, Krishna is accused of flouting dharma at times, but he did not. Right? So, for example, in cricket, when the batsman has taken half some god, and the bowler is bowling over the wicket, the bowler says, okay, leg stump seems to be, visible, very clear. So let me go around and bowl. So he tells the umpire, I'm going to bowl around the wickets. Then immediately you will see the batsman also changing his guard accordingly. So when we see this is, it's like two parallel lines. You understand? So you must see even in the game how the whole thing is going. It's dynamic. That's why I keep saying dharma is dynamic and not static. It's not static, it's dynamic. Having understood that, still a person who's gone beyond and reached the highest heights of life, he would still follow dharma because he knows that he should not be the cause of confusion in the order. Dharma also needs order. Right? So, I must do the role according to what is being given to me in the context. Now here, every time we meet in the class, for this 1 hour, 15 minutes, I have a role to play, you have a role to play. After 1 hour, 15 minutes, before, role will be different. So, there you just play that role. I say, anyway, this is game only, no? So let me relax. Then slowly everybody will start relaxing. Then there will be so much of compromise. Then the order will not be maintained. So all the more, when you know that it is a game. Today, a Rajasic, Tamasic person is in sleep. He is procrastinating, he is in sleep, he is in coma. Rajasic person, life is very serious for him. He is kind of a perfectionist mentality. Ye minute le ho gaya, he will get achieved. Blood pressure is gone. You understand? Sattvic person also functions almost like that. 26 is going to say that. But he is not a perfectionist. Because he knows this is a game. The difference between a Rajasic person and a Sattvic person is this. This is all he is saying. I have already explained to you this story. I am not going to go into the story again. But the story, what story? King who was ruling the kingdom and was highly agitated went to the Muni. Muni sent him back as a trustee. He came back and was ruling the kingdom as a trustee. He was peaceful. So, you don't have to drop your work, your responsibilities. You just have to remove the sense of indispensability. We discussed this last week if you remember. Irresponsibility coupled with sense of indispensability is equal to tamas. Responsibility coupled with sense of indispensability is equal to rajas. Responsibility minus sense of indispensability is tamas. So he understands very well that this is a game, this is a drama, this is a show. But this also has rules and regulations. There is tremendous psychological game that is being played here. So if I say anyway this is game and I relax, then everybody will relax. You must understand your position. Then I will
pass. Sorry, Swamiji, but responsibility and no sense of indispensability, that is sattvic. And responsibility and indispensibility is rajas. Tamas kevali no responsibility.
No responsibility.
No responsibility.
But in the sense of indispensability. Verse 23.
यदि अहम् न वर्तेयम् यदि अहम् न वर्तेयम् जातु कर्मण्यतन्द्रितः जातु कर्मण्यतन्द्रितः मम वर्तमानुवर्तन्ते मम वर्तमानुवर्तन्ते मनुष्यापात सर्वशः मनुष्यापात सर्वशः यदि अहम् न वर्तेयम् जातु कर्मण्यतन्द्रितः मम वर्तमानुवर्तन्ते मनुष्यापात सर्वशः. If indeed I do not ever engage in action, unwearied, men would in every way follow my path, O Partha.
He's not, see, this may sound, if you don't understand it correctly, this may sound egoistic. As if I am the most important person, everybody will follow mechanically what I am doing. He's not talking from that sense, he's saying, see, like I told you before, you must be able to distinguish between self-respect and ego. If somebody is asking, who's connected the class in this class here, I say, I am. Oh, you use the word I, you are egotistical. You can say, I am being factual, you understand. I am connected to the class. I am not emphasizing so much on it. I am connected to the class. It's being factual. That's all. Who is the king here? And the king is saying, I am the king. Oh, is he egotistical? No. You must be able to distinguish between factual statement and egoistic statement. Egoistic is what? When I put myself superior or inferior. You think? When I put myself equal with everybody, I'm making it as a factual statement, that is not egoistic. So here what Krishna is saying is understanding where do I stand. If I'm a leader, I must understand I'm a leader. what should I say? Equal doesn't mean, I don't know, equality is at the mental level, at the outside at the practical level. What we in Sanskrit call as paramarthika satyam and vyavaharika satyam. Vyavaharika means practical. In practical, see, according to Vedanta, everybody is Brahman. Brahma satyam jagat mitya. Huh? Nobody is not Brahman. But at the practical level, there are different roles. There is a role head is supposed to play. There is a role hands are supposed to play. There is a role your kidney plays. There is a role your legs play. There is a role different parts of the body plays. And always remember this. He is going to talk about the caste system briefly here. See, all these things are horizontal and not vertical. The confusion happened when whosoever, for whatever unclear motives it was, I don't know, when they made it vertical, the whole thing confusion started. And my personal belief is this country still suffers and will still continue to suffer because of this caste system that has been made vertical. This is not vertical at all. This is horizontal. Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, anybody. It's like everybody sitting on the same level. But somebody made steps. As a Brahmana, Kshatriya, this fellow did nothing like that. I'm told once there was a strike by scavengers in Mumbai for a few days. The entire city came to a standstill. So you mean to say the scavengers are not important? Who is important? Who is not important? Everybody is equally important. But there are different roles. You must understand that at the practical level. Right? So therefore, Krishna is saying here, if indeed having understood the role I play, he is also from the royal family. He is also a king. So he says, if indeed I do not ever engage in action, you can look at it from the relative level or from the absolute level. If indeed the self doesn't enlivel, if indeed the total subtle body doesn't enlivel, you can look at it from various levels. Whatever levels you look at it, whether relative or absolute, this verse fits in beautifully. It says, if indeed I do not ever engage in action, unwearied men would in every way follow my path. So even though I understand this is a game, that's what the meaning is. Even though I know that this is Leela, I still follow the rules.
Why is the word
unwearied
there, Swami? Krishna doesn't engage in action, then people will follow the leader, so they follow him and do the same. But unwearied, what?
What is your confusion there?
What is the word unwearied in this verse?
We can see the what is the dictionary meaning.
No, what is implying the word? Why unwearied in this context?
See,
I'm very tired, isn't it?
Pardon?
She's tirelessly.
Exactly.
I do not do action.
I work tirelessly. That's what he's saying.
Oh, if I do not engage in action,
tirelessly.
And if I
put his hands up, he forget what has been.
I need not work like that.
I do not work.
Because I don't want anything from it.
Okay,
got it. See, you had a need, you wanted to establish a business, you established, and let us say you rise yourself now, your level has gone much deeper now. Right? Now you say, anyway, my needs are gone, I'm going to close the company. No. You are running a factory, there are thousands of people who are employed, and so you need to make sure that either from your family or from your organization, somebody will take it, or you hand over the organization, you sell it off to somebody else who will run it responsibly. You understand? So just because you are not grown up doesn't mean you live the higher drive. This is what he's saying. I don't have to work like this, and yet I work. See, this is why we say it is not the action or work that gives you stress. It is the attitude that gives you stress. So, when a person is doing an inspired action, inspired work, he is doing tirelessly he is working. He is not working for himself. Huh? But he is not stressed. When you work for yourself, you are stressed. Selfishness.
Because you want something out of it.
Exactly. So the thing is, Krishna is saying, I don't want anything from it. I have reached subtler levels. Even at the relative level, when you reach a certain, self-sufficiency. When you reach a certain self-sufficiency, you need not do it because what I am getting out of my interest from the investment after taxation itself is probably too much for me, let us say. So, I will stop going to work. But I am setting a bad example for my children, my grandchildren, my society, my relatives. Right? So, I continue doing my actions tirelessly, unwearied, enthusiastically, not mechanically, because I know that they will take me as an example suitable to justify their thoughts, and everybody would slowly the thing will compromise. That is why it's very, very important, and leader sets a standard. Even a country like America, as you say, they are very, very particular about it. Isn't it? Very particular. Otherwise, he can be impeached. Caesar's wife should be beyond doubt. You should, in other words, you should always remember, I am in this position. I am in this position, I have come out openly for anybody to say, I am an open book. You should not be able to find any shortcomings. And that is a leader. Now, when we study all these things, we wonder whether such leadership is there nowadays. I don't think I am indispensable. I am dispensable. After me, maybe somebody else can come and probably do a better job. That's a different matter. But at the same time, I recognize my responsibility and I am not going to shy away from my responsibility. You shy away from responsibility because there is some difficulty in it. Or you probably don't do your responsibility because you say, what is there in it? You are now looking for something else. No. Maybe there is nothing in it for me, but there is everything in it for the total. Therefore, I must continue to do. So he says, I understand this and therefore I am still acting. Verse 24. Kutsi deyurine lokaha, kutsi deyurine lokaha, nakuryam karma chedaham, sankarasya chakartasyam, sankarasya chakartasyam, upahanyami maprajaha, upahanyami maprajaha, kutsi deyurine lokaha, nakuryam karma chedaham, sankarasya chakartasyam, upahanyami maprajaha. If you remember in the first chapter, Arjuna argued his case of wanting to leave the battlefield and go to the forest. He said, by fighting we will kill people and that will cause confusion of caste. Here Krishna, Lord Krishna is explaining to him, if you run away from the battle, that will cause the confusion of caste. See, this is called as clarity. Out of confusion, he said, if we fight, we will kill, and then women will marry from different castes, and then all sorts of nonsense will be happening, therefore there will be confusion of caste. What Krishna's argument here is, confusion of caste happens because when leadership doesn't function according to what they should be doing. See, culture always percolates down from the top. Revolution always springs from the bottom. Take for example French Revolution or anything. Right? So you must remember, culture always comes down from the top. So when the leader is casual and everybody will be so casual, he himself is doing that. He is in, then where to stop? The buck stops at the leader. In fact, what Rama is accused by many people, and also you know, today a lot of us are also in confusion. We just say, well, I don't want to get into those things, but people think that Lord Ram suspected his wife. Not at all. He had no doubt whatsoever. But being a leader, he had to do certain things. It's all coming from this thing only, that if there is even a suspicion, then I will die. Because the thing is, I will probably influence the investigation. Therefore, I will say, you do the investigation. Then I will come once the thing is gone. That sort of a standard. How many of us see that happening in our days? You understand? They do talk about moral responsibility and all these things, but here he is saying, you have a responsibility. If you don't, then the leader might be the cause of confusion. And caste system, we need to understand, there are three things to be understood here. For example, you are called as Jati Brahmana or Jati Kshatriya, Jati Vaishya, Jati Shudra, and then Guna Brahmana, Guna Kshatriya, Guna Vaishya, Guna Shudra. Similarly, Karma, Karma Brahmana, Karma Vaishya, Karma Shudra, Karma Kshatriya. Karma means action, Jati means by birth, Guna means by nature. A true Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra will be all three. Our most important factor here is what?
Karma.
Guna and Karma. Jati doesn't matter. Prabhupada was born in Vaikya family, but he was a Brahmana. Ravana was born to a Brahmana, but his situation was different. So, each one according to their nature, they did the action, work that was suitable for their nature, which was the best for the model also. If the engineer, out of some reason, goes to medicine, what will happen? Or the other way around? Any example for that matter. Even though he may do well, he is not doing the best for himself and for the society, because there is deep inside some frustrations. And that frustrations is going to take over one day, and it's going to be detrimental for the total also, and for himself also. That is why, in 35th verse of chapter 3, he will be talking about Sudharma also. So, we are in 24. So, each one is given work in accordance with his or her
temperament,
gunas. Sattva, Rajas, Tamas, SRT, suitable for Brahmana. RST, Rajas, Sattva, Tamas, suitable for Kshatriya. RTS, Rajas, Tamas, Sattva, suitable for Vaishya. Business. TRS, Tamas, Rajas, Sattva, suitable for service. But as I said, all these four are at the same level only, not to be kept in vertical level. It's all horizontal. Nobody is inferior, nobody is superior here. But unfortunately, as I have heavy criticism, you know, it is supposedly said in Vedas that Shudra is the feet of the Lord. Brahmana is the head of the Lord. Now, there is so much of controversy about that. Actually, feet is where you fall. That's right. Feet is more worshipped. Pada is worshipped. Isn't it? And secondly, it is not about to be taken as one superior, but this is all confusion that these people have created. For whatever reasons, or maybe it's suited for them, I don't know. Or maybe they themselves are confused, God knows. So the thing is, these worlds would perish. Krishna is saying, if I did not perform action. Means deteriorate. The whole thing will slowly deteriorate and perish. Compromise. There is so much of compromise that we are not even having clarity that we are compromising. Everybody is compromised, so there is confusion about dharma only today. Isn't it? We don't have an example for us to know what it is to be dharmic. So I should be the cause of confusion of caste and I should and should destroy these people then. So Krishna is also telling indirectly to Arjuna, he is not saying if you run away you will be the confusion of reason for confusion of caste. He is saying if I can run away then it will be the reason for confusion of caste. He is teaching indirectly to Arjuna. Understand? Means any leader when he doesn't live up to that level, he creates compromise. And which leads to deterioration. Therefore, I do not want such a thing to happen. Slowly things will deteriorate. First time they compromised, ek bar only, I just did it once more. Kya karta tha? Then slowly others. Chalo yaar, ek aur baar. Slowly you compromise. Right? See, this compromise needs to be understood with a vis-a-vis sense of proportion. You have a certain value. Let us say you practice fasting certain day. You must follow it meticulously. But not so meticulously that your blood pressure increases if you did not follow it. Then you fall into the category of rajas. Aap bhi careless, kabhi kabhi karenge, kabhi kabhi I don't do, doesn't matter. Then you are falling into the category of rajas. Meticulously follow the tradition also, even though you listen about it. Tradition is like refrigerator. This is the way they preserve the culture, the values. See, when you were a small child, you were taught the Puranas. And Puranas repeatedly you hear. Then Puranas are what? Various characters. Right? And those characters were filled with values. Bhishma stood for certain value. Karna stood for certain value. Rama stood for values. All those things were ingeniously put into your samskara from the childhood time itself. So you grew up that way. So even when afterwards when you grow up, sometimes when you go this way, that way, these things will pull you back. So to preserve the values and give it to the audience of that level, all these things were beautifully programmed in various religions. So in all religions you have philosophy and tradition and everything. And now that you have understood, you have grown above it, you are now a student of philosophy, doesn't mean you ridicule the tradition or customs. Just like how seriously you question the tradition, which you should. What is the need for doing this tradition? What is the relevance of such traditions today? You should ask these questions, I'm not saying. But why don't you persist in that question and try to find the answer yourself? Why do you expect others to give you the answer? If they didn't know and they followed mechanically, think at that. You don't follow mechanically, but at least you put in the effort to find that. No. I have no time. And you start ridiculing, you understand? Many things that, some of the articles you read in the newspapers also, like for example, Ayurveda, which is from our culture, Ayurveda. We've been using traditionally the ginger and all sorts of herbs, right? The turmeric, everything is there in our food. Suddenly, when an American guy comes and tries to patent it, then everybody is waking up here. What is happening? Yoga, for example, went to America, came back to India, became very powerful, very well known. So in other words, maybe there is some meaning, maybe there is no meaning, but why don't you think and ask certain fundamental questions and spend some time to understand what it is. So my point here is, traditions are like refrigerators. They preserve the culture, character, the values. So therefore, you imbibe those values through traditional practices. But now that you are living that value, that traditional practice is no more needed for you, relevant for you, but still, you do it. Why? Because grandchildren, children, so many other people are there, so I still follow. A CEO doesn't mean you go anytime you want, you come back anytime you want. You have to set a certain standard. That's why I said 21st verse of chapter 3, which we did. Yadya acharate shreshtaha tatta eva itarajanaha sa yat pramanam kurute lokas kalanu vartate. So, even though personally there should be no laws, if I do this way, then I would cause the confusion of caste and so much compromise, so much deterioration will happen. Therefore, I would willingly, enthusiastically, tirelessly do my action without attachment. So verse 25. Satta karmanya vidvansaha, satta karmanya vidvansaha, yata kurvanti bharata, yata kurvanti bharata, kurya vidvansata satta, kurya vidvansata satta, chikeshu loka sangraham, chikeshu loka sangraham, satta karmanya vidvansaha, yata kurvanti bharata, kurya vidvansata satta, chikeshu loka sangraham. O Bharata, is kind of summarizing what he's been saying so long. Then, O Bharata, O Arjuna, as the ignorant act attached to action, as the rajasic person acts attached to action, so should the wise one act, so should the sattvic one act, but unattached. Difference is the internal attitude. Outside there is no difference. If somebody will look at Krishna on the battlefield, they will think he is a warmonger, but he is not at all interested in the war. This is the internal adjustment that he is talking about. So, a rajasic person acts, the whole thing depends on the action, hinges on it. For a sattvic person, he also does on the field is like that. But nothing depends. Unattached, he works. Wishing the welfare of the world, keeping the interest of the people, keeping the interest of the entire world in mind, he functions. Swami Ramtita gives the example, story, he gives a story of story where a person is walking from his village to work through the jungle every day, and he tries to get back early because late in the evening the wild animals will start coming out. Now one day when he came, it was a little dark and he saw some wild animal coming, so he climbed the tree and he sat on the branch, thought that he will leave the next day morning. The tiger also came and it sat under the tree waiting for this fellow to come down. The branch is not able to take his weight, it is slowly bending and it's going to break any time. And the branch tip is bending towards the river which is flowing there near the tree, where a crocodile is waiting for his fellow to fall into the river. little masala I have also put. It's not that much. Thoda masala I have also put. Next, the branch is going to break. On the same branch, there's a bird that is perched. So Ram Sita is asking, between the bird and the man, what is the difference? The branch is going to break. Bird has wings, so it is not in tension, no stress. Bird is not dependent on the branch. Whereas this man is completely dependent on the branch. This is the difference between sattvic and rajasic person. So Bhagavad Gita is only saying this. Believe me, Bhagavad Gita is over. Over. I don't know why you want me to come from next week again. But this is what it is. And in a very nutshell. But the idea, the thing is to get that in an adjustment. Other things are said. But this is the thing. Inside, see what very clearly Krishna says. O Bharata, O Arjuna. Just as the ignorant act attached to action, everything depends. Oh my God, what will happen? Please make sure today, at least just today, the sense is in three. Tomorrow I don't care. You understand? So, you, everything depends there.
Some result you want.
Anything, the world. A rajasic person is dependent, attached
to externals,
completely a slavish thing to action. He acts for happiness. Sattvic person acts out of happiness. For an ignorant person, action is the means for happiness. For a sattvic person, for a wise person, knowledgeable person, action itself is happiness. In other words, he has found happiness in the process, not in the result. This is the thing. Many of us, we find happiness only in the result. Then we firstly we say, okay, I want to become I want to become that. Okay, if I want to become a deluder, then oh my God. Achha, no Sunday I can have anything. Only cricket? I can't do this, I can't do that. Then I have to job for so many kilometers and here go. You understand? Then you say, process is I can't do it. I don't know. Sure. Your belief is not going to happen from inside. Unless the belief happens, see, mind works teleologically. Right? If you can see it as a picture clearly in your mind, you will see that happening. Don't worry how you are going to accomplish it. Believe me, you see the picture inside in the mind. If you believe and how it's going to happen, the totality will work it out for you. You have no idea how it works. Suddenly you meet somebody and on this street. That is why in the Bhagavad Gita it is said Shilpuram Himanushayaloke Siddhir Bhavati Bharata. To attain success in the world is easy. But the thing is, you need to first inside believe and conceive as a vision. The picture should be there clearly in your mind. Organization has a vision. But that vision is there, the picture of the CEO is there, the picture of the managing director, chairman and everybody, no. The process is how dare I act. Then the process is going to enjoy. So this is what he is saying. A sattvic person is enjoying every minute. If you milk this verse, you will understand this. He's in enjoyment with reference to every action, the process. He is involved in the game. If result really doesn't affect him. So when Krishna said, don't be concerned about result, this is what he is meaning. Take pleasure in the process itself. When you take pleasure in the process, what? In fact, 100 or 100 times the result will be in your favor. Because somebody who enjoyed the process, how he could not succeed? Even if it did not succeed, it will not be a failure to him because he would have learned something out of it. It really doesn't matter to him. So he says, sattvic person, wise person who has knowledge, he finds happiness in the process. He acts outside the routine, it is as though he is also different. Another common example we give to explain this verse is of an actor on the stage. For example, Shah Rukh Khan or anybody for the matter. And direct somebody who wanted to book him and say, next movie you have to act in our movie, and whole movie you are going to be acting like a beggar. The movie is going to show the plight of beggars in India, something like that. So, okay, so you know, costumes and everything is going to be according to that. So, and we want to make it very, very realistic. So there are some scenes where some people, when they won't beg, they will spit on you. And to want to make it realistic, we'll make them spit on you really also. So I can say, no problem. Mr. X says, no problem. Usually my charge is 10 crores or 15 crores, whatever it is. I just give it 25. And the director says, okay. Producer says, okay. And they book him. He is 25 crores rich. Okay. But he is acting as a
beggar.
But while he is acting, he is very authentic. He is more authentic than the original beggar also. So authentic that you can't differentiate. But inside he is in heaven because he is 25 crores
richer.
This is what he is saying. Outside it looks as if he is dependent, but inside the highest value. Therefore, what do you value? What are your values? If you question your values, then you will know what are you valuing. When situation will come now, you say, take away everything with yourself, please give, make me live my life. Will you not say that? You know, people keep sending me some emails, this thought, that thought, some quotation, something or the other. One email which I never forget, in the email, it is said one fellow was interviewing God in his dream. And in the dream, he was asking so many questions to God. So one of the questions he asked, what is that which baffles you most when you look at your creation, the human being especially, specifically? He said, human being baffles me a lot, especially in this, that they spend all their life amassing wealth. At the end of their life, they are ready to spend all their wealth to restore it. I don't understand this. It baffles my understanding. In other words, what do you value? Ask this question. If you seriously value the permanent aspects of life, the essential aspects of life, then when you are dealing with the impermanent aspects of life, you cannot be serious outside, inside. Are you with me? You will be serious outside me, but inside of it you will be serious. Like if you are playing Monopoly with your children, for them it is very serious. You understand? That money that they use in the game is real for them. And for you, but outside you are also saying, no, this is not, you are doing this. Do it again. But inside, you know it's a game. This is what understanding that life is a game brings.
in your life.
But it has to be understood. And God can say, oh, it's a game. And then you will have, no, why not? It's a game, the game has to be played within following certain rules, and even follow the rules and play. What is the problem?
There is no problem.
In fact, he will look very serious in the game. And he will not be depressed at all, because as the game proceeds, the fellow who is understanding, who is enjoying the process, he will not be worried that there is only this many balls remaining and this many runs need to be scored. He will be so relaxed that he will be seeing the ball like a football player. So that fellow will be able to see. That is why it happens to a lot of people. Sometimes suddenly one fellow comes and turns the whole match around. That means he was not concerned about the result. He was focused on the process. He was, you understand? This is what he is saying here. Avidvansaha, the ignorant people. It is also very interesting. If you see here, avidvansaha is plural, vidvan is singular. Meaning very few people are wise. Ignorant people are plenty. There are too much in quantity when it comes to ignorance. When it comes to wise, pretenders of wisdom many. But truly wise people, rare. A wise person is all alone. A lion is always alone. Doesn't go in group. It does something unique. It is not doing things to do something different for the sake of doing different. A leader is somebody who thinks unique. He is not going to follow the mass mechanically. You understand? So the person understands this is a game and he enjoys the process. He loves the difficult circumstances. The greater the difficulty when you are solving the puzzle, the greater the enjoyment, right? And he steps aside and thinks out of the box. He is so serious outside, but inside he is not at all. But if you are able to function like that, what we philosophically call as in Tamil literature, it is said, Thoongamal Thoongi. Don't understand these things wrong here. Thoongamal Thoongi means without sleeping, sleep. As though sleeping. Like some of you might have perfected it so well as you do that in class. I suppose not. But as I say, Thoongamal Thoongi means without sleeping, sleeping. Meaning you are, you see, not Shiva. His half eyes are closed, half eyes open. Right? This is a game. Give that much importance, and game needs to be. And you respect the rules and regulations of the game, and you play the game in a spirit, and the results of the game can go either way, and it doesn't affect you. You come back as light-hearted as you enter the game. Then, if you can do that with reference to life, then you have understood living. Life and living. If you don't do that, then you have not understood life and living. Then you do not know how to live. This is what Vedanta says. So Vedanta doesn't say you have to become a muni, you have to become a sannyasi or anything of the sort. You keep doing whatever you do. Others may not know. In fact, how do you judge a jnani? You have certain criteria. There are stories in Puranas. Even Swami Vivekananda gives one story where he talks about butcher being the greatest karma yogi. listen. Because your condition
is as
he is also playing his role. See, to understand dharma is a little complicated. You need a little more thinking and depth. A few years ago, about 97-98 or something, in one of the South Indian channels, I think it's Doordarshan, a senior police officer was interviewed, commissioner or somebody. I just happened to see that. And many questions she asked, interesting questions she asked. One question she asked the police officer was, everybody knows prostitution is illegal. And everybody knows in any particular city where one particular area is permanently some sort of prostitution is going on. Everybody knows that. It's a public knowledge. Now why do you ask? Suddenly also it so happens that we also see suddenly news appearing in the newspaper and all that. Police clamp down heavily upon the prostitution racket, busted, that, this. So she said, I don't understand this, what's happening? Why is this tamasha? Then he said, we have statistics to prove that every time we came heavily upon prostitution and restricted it so much that the rise in rape and everything was going on. You understand? They have statistics. Now, see, when you, I'm talking about order. In order, in a jungle, right? There's a tiger, there's a lion, there's a deer. So when you go to the zoo, they can't give meat to a deer. So they have to order for grass. And they can't give grass to a tiger. They have to order other things. So when you are running the whole thing, you look at it from the whole, everybody has a role to play. It is done. You must understand it from that. That is done. So, many of us, I don't mean this, all these people who do that, they are all very bad people. Butcher is also playing his role. Everybody has a role to play. Hangman has a role to play. You understand? So, he can even be, what I am trying to say is, a perfect man could even be a scavenger. Why not? In the Mahabharata story, Krishna once in one some party, one celebration was happening there. Krishna was given the responsibility of taking care of the chapel staff. You understand? A perfect individual can be in anything. It's got nothing to do with what you do, it is to do with what you are, who you are, how you do it. So therefore, it is not what you do, but how you do. That is what this verse is talking about. Attached or unattached. So you can study Bhagavad Gita class with attachment. Becomes non-spiritual. On the contrary, you can be on the war field, battlefield, without attachment, becomes spiritual. And nothing is to be taken as Gandha profession. Nothing is to be looked down upon. We talk about respect for labor. What better can be said in the Gita? This is what he is saying. Respect for labor. Just as an ignorant person acts with attachment, a wise person also acts but detached. Satta means attached. Asatta means detached, unattached. That is the crucial word here. That's the difference. You can't get detached from the lower unless you get attached to the higher. So when you establish yourself in the higher, you get detached from the lower. So you can only get attached to the higher with the help of knowledge. Assimilation of the knowledge. So So therefore your focus should be in assimilating this knowledge and not just gaining the information. Let's continue.
Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadhaya Purnameva Vishishyate Om Shanti Shanti Shanti.